something that I found in my life as well, when I'm in deepest acceptance, surrender, and trust of life itself and what challenges are being brought to the surface, when I can let go of the resistance to them and just interact with what's in front of me, then life tends to bring me more fun and snuggles, like life snuggles, horse snuggles.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Reinforce the Horse. Today, I am here with Bailey Summer, and Bailey is a marketing and business strategist expert who helps ethical horse trainers create profitable businesses by leveraging social media. Aside from her day job, Bailey is a devoted student of life, with horses being her primary spiritual teachers. Good afternoon, Bailey. How are you doing today?
Hi, Alyssa. I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to this conversation for a while.
Oh, me too. I'm so excited to talk with you about, well, all the things. So can you start and just tell us a little bit more about yourself and your journey into horses?
Oh, sure. So let's see, I'll start with now and then go back a little bit. Right now, my main thing, as you mentioned in the beginning, is I help ethical horse trainers with their marketing, specifically through social media. And it's a huge passion of mine because I get to help influence and impact the lives of tons of horses just by helping the people get their businesses really off the ground. But my start with horses was very different than it is now. When I was young, I was, of course, horse obsessed. I couldn't stop thinking about them. One fond memory is I read 2 horse encyclopedias cover to cover by the time I was 8 years old. I was just, I was absolutely obsessed and could not get enough of horses and information. And we had a family friend with a pony named Moonstone. He was a gray pony, and I got to ride him and fall off and get on and fall off and get on. I got riding lessons when I was 11, and I got to be really consistent from then on. And I grew up at sort of the typical boarding facility equestrian center where people were pretty intense, and the things I learned from the people around me was pretty brutal. And that continued into college, although I was always looking for alternative ways because I was so sensitive. And let's see, I found the work of Mustang Maddie on social media when I was in college, and I closely followed her work and was able to do a lot more liberty work than before and got a lot of clients when I was training horses professionally, and ended up working with her and for her, both as an assistant trainer and in her marketing. So it's been it's been quite an adventure. That's sort of the outline.
Man, that is wonderful. So I believe we found your stuff. We found you through Mustang Maddie stuff. I went through her course. That's really cool. I have so much respect for that work. And I didn't actually know that you were assistant training with her, and that you were training professionally. That's really cool.
Yes, I went to college for horse training, which I actually don't recommend. It was very intense and not the best, not very informed. The program I went through anyways was not very informed, but I went to school, got into Mustang Maddie's work just through her online memberships and things like that, which she had at the time, and was training professionally and had a tiny little training program going on a farm in Northeast Colorado, and took as many clients as I could, which was pretty limited, but I did have a wait list and a lot of people excited to work with me because of what they saw through what I learned with a lot more ethical training methods. So yeah, and then I went to Maddie's retreat, and you know, we got connected, and I ended up doing a little bit of training alongside her and for her. Sometimes she would send horses to me and things like that. So
that's really cool.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very in the world, very immersed in the horse training world.
So at this time, did you have your own horse or horses when you started training professionally and stuff?
I did. I had, I grew up at, let's see, when I was 14, I got my first horse for my birthday. After my parents told me my entire life that I would never have a horse under their roof because they couldn't afford it, but I got a job at 12 so that I could make it work. I was gifted a horse for my birthday who I soon took over, finances for, but he's a super golden Palomino quarter horse who's still with us today. He's in retirement, living it up on a pasture. But he was, my heart and soul for sure. I was riding him bridleless and, out on the trails and in the mountains and things. It was a really special time. I competed on him in college, in ranch horse versatility, and later found out that the whole time he actually had some, old injuries that had been bothering him for a long time. So, now he's relaxing in retirement, and I have a very, strong awareness of horses' health and bodies now that I've been through that, knowing that he was in pain while he was carrying me, endlessly for my whole childhood. So,
what is his name?
Yeah. His name is Nick, N-I-C. It's kind of a funny horse name. It sounds like a person name, but his registered name, comes from Reminick, who was a reining horse, who did, pretty well enough to have a lot of offspring. So there's a few Nick quarter horses floating around. And now, the horse that I work and play with the most is a Kyger Mustang named Ford. And he is, he's a beauty, and he, is definitely my teacher. He requires a lot of patience and acceptance. And more than that, his spiritual presence is stronger than with any other horse I've encountered. So he's been really special. And he actually helped me get back into horses when I had about a year where I didn't touch a horse because I just needed time after some severe burnout and trauma. And when I had moved away, moved back, and I left him in the hands of a friend. When I came back and reunited with him, it was really special and definitely kicked off the new level of my career and my reconnection to horses as well. So he's been really special.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Is he a young Mustang?
He's middle-aged. He's like 12, 13.
Okay, very wise man.
Yeah. He's so wise. I work with a shamanic healer and who's a really close friend of mine as well. And he tends to show up in our shamanic journeys all the time and has wisdom to bestow. Yeah. He's really something for me. So
can only imagine. Sounds like a beautiful connection you have with him.
Thank you. Yes.
So just out of curiosity, did you get him out of the wild? Like, did he come to you with any prior training, or was he wild when you got him?
Yeah, he did come to me with training, actually. At the time, I was living in Northeast Colorado when I got him, and I didn't have, facilities that would be safe for a wild horse, but I knew I wanted a Mustang, and so I got him essentially tip trained. He could load the trailer, pick up his feet. Yeah, but everything else has been us playing, but I did take a long training break, for the last few years. So we're almost starting over this year, as far as training goes, even though the connection is strong and he follows me everywhere as far as like the actual, training to ride and stuff. We're still working on it, which has been really fun.
That's really cool. I find that often the closest connections with our horses come with just like existing with them and being in that spiritual space with them. They're yoga masters, as another guest was talking about. It's just powerful.
It's so true. And horse training is very fraught for me emotionally, which is so funny because I've done it my whole life. But, it's a long story. But over the summer, I was having a really hard time still reintegrating horses back into my life. And I would just go out into the pasture and then he would just put his head over my shoulder and pull me into a hug. And, And if I was struggling or having a hard day and crying, he would just hold me for like 45 minutes while I cried. And I had just never experienced anything like that from a horse. And it really opened my eyes again to how immeasurably valuable our horses are outside of what we do with them. And just his presence and wisdom and love is ultimately all that matters, and everything else is just the cherry on top. So he's been a powerful teacher for me.
Oh, I hear that. That's so beautiful. I'm so happy you found him, that you found each other, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. Mm-hmm. He's really special. Yeah. And it helps with, you know, if my horse can have that level of value for simply existing and being, you know, made of love and whatever other cosmic substance we're made out of, you know, then each of us is equally valuable just for existing and outside of our own accomplishments and things. So that's been really special, to extend that same compassion to myself, the same that I can, or compassion and acceptance and love of just a soul existing on planet Earth in the same way that I can with him.
Goodness, that is that resonates with me so much. I have found like so much healing in them. I love to hear other people talk about and express like the spirituality of existing with the horses, and because they're so healing. And it's, I mean, some of them we attach to more than others, right? Some of them are more naturally spiritual than others, I find, but collectively they're just so magic, and I don't have another word for it.
I know. Totally hear you. 100%. I have a joke that some animals are animals and some animals are something else entirely. Like, I have a friend who has two cats, and one of them is a cat and the other one is a wizard who astro travels and projects all over every dimension. Oh, so it's just like, we all just like, some are just so in their bodies and just living, and others are really seem to be more in the spiritual realm than others. Or maybe they all are, and it just depends on where we're at and how we connect with them.
Oh yeah, that's fair. They are mirrors, especially the horses. They are like mirrors to our soul.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's fascinating. So we've heard a little bit about, or quite a bit about your horses. Tell us a bit about where you're at now professionally with them and your business.
Oh yeah, sure. So, well, let's see. So with horses, I have a couple horses in training right now as more of a short-term thing. I'm training horses for the Great Escape Mustang Collaborative, which is a nonprofit here in Colorado. Yeah, they had some owner surrenders, and I've been working with them. It's been really fun and rewarding. But I actually think I'm going to be, well, as soon as they are ready to be rehomed, or possibly one of them might go to sanctuary for a short time due to physical stuff. But anyway, after I'm finished with them, I'm going to put my sole focus on helping ethical horse trainers with their social media and marketing. It's been so fun already to see the impact of helping people with their businesses, and how elevating the voices of ethical horse trainers and people with compassion, and how much that can shift the industry as a whole. You know, we've already seen it happening on social media. There's been a huge movement towards training horses in a much more gentle and informed way. And I don't think that would have been quite possible without social media. And the better I can help people convey their own message and the value of their work, and also get them well paid, which is super important to prevent burnout. Get them well paid, well rested, and doing the work they have that's most important to them, and getting their message out to the world. I think it's going to help the most horses that I can as an individual through helping other people. So I'm opening up my program here pretty soon. I've had a few clients behind the scenes, and of course working with Maddie on her business side of things. But that's what's happening for me. I'm really excited about it. It's for now one-on-one coaching, might move into group coaching. But yeah, I'm excited to see where this goes and how many people I can help, and the horses' lives that are touched is of course the ultimate goal.
Well, congratulations on this new endeavor. I'm really excited for you. And this is quite timely, must I say. I've been working on starting a business with my Mustang Willow. Willow paints thing. And so the conversation here is quite timely. It's exciting to hear about what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm really excited.
That's really cool. Do you feel like the horses have helped you decide that this is what you want to do in life?
Oh, absolutely. Every step of the way. 100%. How can I frame the story in a way that would make sense without telling the whole, the long story? About a year ago, I was living in Oregon, and I left my horses in Colorado in a safe place and was like, I just have to, I needed a break. I had several really traumatic incidences in a row, and I couldn't, I take the responsibility of horses so seriously I almost couldn't handle the weight of the responsibility. So I, let a friend take care of them for me. I went to Oregon and was horseless for 1 year. And during that time, I knew I wanted to venture out and start some sort of business of my own. And I was actually really wanting to go into spiritual type coaching and personal development coaching, because that was my whole life at the time, was just trying to survive what I was going through. And then I found all these tools and ways of healing that were so powerful for me. And I just wanted to help people in that way. And then I couldn't do it. I didn't know why. I didn't know what was going on. I made all these plans and kind of set things in motion. And when it came time to actually take action on it, something in me just said no. And then suddenly Oregon didn't feel right, as much fun as I had. And I came back to Colorado, reunited with my horse and with Ford and the other horses in a different location. I reunited with Ford, and everything just kind of clicked into place, and it felt right that horses were the ones I could be helping. And of course, no matter what I do, the spiritual and personal development aspects will always be a part of my work. But helping ethical trainers make horses' lives better just called to me so strongly. So just being back with that Mustang really made me see again how important this work is to me.
Wow, that is fascinating. Yeah. The Mustangs have a certain energy to them that's not like a domestic horse. And I have two Mustangs and one domestic, but I'm currently in a place where I'm around about 20 other Mustangs. And the energy around them is like, it's so different than the domestics. And I'm not saying that the domestics don't have a spirituality side of them, because they most certainly do. But the Mustangs just have this inner knowing that just, I think, helps to propel us in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so too.
That's really cool. Does your work, this profession that you're working on, expanding, does it include any sort of spirituality? Like, is that a primary focus of yours going into the spirituality aspect of it?
I'm kind of taking it as it comes. I'll have my own spiritual practice. That's an important part of me being present and delivering the information and support that my clients need. So of course it's within myself, which I believe translates, whether people know it or not. and there is definitely an element of it, a little bit in my program's curriculum, for example. But it tends to come up the most in the coaching. If people are having a hard time with sales and like guilt over selling their own work, I can really get them in touch with the ultimate purpose of selling, which is of highest service to the horses and themselves. So making it feel really aligned on a spiritual level for clients. Like it is, you know, it's hard with capitalism to not feel guilty and weird about having a business or making money doing something that is so important. So just helping people, walking people through that, is definitely a part of it and, is a theme throughout it all. So yeah, it tends to be a lot more in the support when people are struggling. I can help invite them to connect with themselves and their own inner value system and their highest self or their soul that can kind of carry it all, if that makes sense.
Oh, that makes so much sense. I hear you. I understand. So I could piggyback and say spiritual practice has been a huge, huge part of my life. It's helped, and it's helped through not only connection building with the other people in my life and the horses, but just healing, mm-hmm. inner healing and stuff.
Absolutely.
There. Do you ever sit with your horses and practice your spiritual practices? Have you noticed any, like, have you noticed their energy changes since this has been a part of your life?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, especially with Ford, once again, he comes online for me so strongly. Interestingly, not necessarily when I'm in a spiritual practice sitting with him, but when I'm like, when I'm fully surrendered to my current emotional experience is when he shows up the strongest for me, whether that's joy or sorrow or grief, even rage. He can really hold space for me as long as I'm being, fully authentic to myself and just feeling my feelings is definitely when he tends to bring the most presence in a way that I feel it in my body. So that's been really special. Yeah. And as far as just in horses in general, the way they respond to me after so much personal development and work on myself and connecting with, you know, my soul, they are certainly a lot more at peace and calm and curious around me. I, you know, it's really interesting. Growing up, the horses I was around never snuggled. And now I don't meet a horse that doesn't want to like snuggle. It just recently dawned on me that I was like, oh, it must be my energy is a little bit different, that they just want to like cuddle up to me. Whereas before, when I was young and I was, you know, in the more intense, horsemanship, I don't even want to say natural horsemanship because it was more intense than that. Okay. So when I was, when I was in sort of that, when I was subscribed to that philosophy, the horses kind of kept their distance to a degree. You know, I still connected with them no matter what. Horses are incredible like that. But now it's just a whole new level of just feeling accepted by them, and they seem to be intrigued. So that's been really fun.
That is so fascinating and absolutely beautiful. I think, I mean, this is a personal belief, but I think so much of horsemanship is spirituality, whether we look at it that way or not. I think
absolutely.
Even people who don't, you know, actively practice being, I guess, meditating or practicing yoga or whatever, sitting silent, however you want to word it, I think that just our spiritual side is what makes the horses receptive to us. And if we're if we're in a negative space, I know you mentioned Ford hold space for you, but some of them are just totally whereas others will come and acknowledge that. And if we're in a positive 100%. space, we're like a magnet, and this spiritual, this side of us that we can't see, and I guess some of us can feel it, but it's like we attract. And
absolutely, yeah, I think one of my favorite lessons I've learned recently that feels very spiritual to me is acceptance, and which also kind of under that umbrella is surrender and trust. And I find that when I'm in acceptance of the horse and any behavior that they have, not meaning like I condone them, like I don't want them to be unsafe, but if I'm accepting them for who they are in every moment, and responding to what's in front of me and not what I wish I could see, that's when they tend to be the most receptive to me, is when I'm in full acceptance of them. And that's been something that I found in my life as well. When I'm in deepest acceptance, surrender, and trust of life itself and what challenges are being brought to the surface, when I can let go of the resistance to them and just interact with what's in front of me, then life tends to bring me more fun and snuggles, like life snuggles, horse snuggles, when I can just trust and relax even through pain and suffering and know that this is ultimately for my highest good. That's when life tends to flow the most for me. And I say that with a history of, you know, pretty intense, mental health struggles with depression and PTSD and things like that. So there was a time, if I heard someone say to trust and surrender and know that everything that's happening is for my greater good and, you know, a lesson in the school of life to be a better, wiser soul, I would have been really frustrated and honestly hurt by the statement. Depending on what you're going through, that can just feel offensive. But after being on the other side of that and going through, kind of walking through the fire, I can see how it was ultimately truly for my deepest growth. And it feels the same with the horses as well. When we accept the more we accept them, no matter what they're going through, and the more space and time we give them to bloom on their own, the more receptive they are to us. So that's been my biggest lesson lately, which has been really fun.
Man, I love that. I'm like speechless right now. Oh. I can't even. That resonates with me so much. Mm. I feel you. Like I just I feel you. That is powerful. Mm. They are. They're just horses are just so powerful in that way. But it's. I think there's so much that comes with them teaching us how to exist. And
absolutely teaching us how to exist is such a good way to put it.
It's just like, I mean, I don't even know, sitting with them, just being with them and existing in their presence, it's like it has the ability to allow this portal to open, to just like sit in the space and heal and just be and let go of all expectations, which sounds like what you're expressing is just being able to be and see them for who and what they are, just as we see ourselves for who and what that we are.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, of course. Thank you for receiving that.
<That's> beautiful. Is there a particular time in your life where you've noticed a horse is struggling and you have been their shoulder, you've been their safe space, and you've noticed watching a horse expand?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me think of a specific time. I think, yeah, I would say the horses I'm working with now, actually, I see it. It seems like almost every day where they, we're kind of working through, you know, building their confidence and things like that. And every so often, they just have a moment of processing and, like heavy, slow blinks and sighing. And then they'll come up and just like, and then just again, the snuggles, and then they'll just come up and snuggle. Like we'll kind of work through something and then they'll come and snuggle. I don't know. They kind of work through whatever was happening on the inside and then just come back for more. So that's been really fun.
Oh, that is beautiful. Horses are such snuggly, just like snuggly soft beings.
Yeah, I wonder too. I'm around mostly Mustangs lately. I wonder if it's a Mustang thing, because it has been them lately that they're just so, they just want to connect so deeply, which is really generous of them, considering that they are, you know, these majestic wild creatures, and it's humbling and an honor to get to connect with them.
Yeah, for sure. They've been through so much too. It never ceases to amaze me how strong they are after everything they've been through.
Exactly. 100%.
I mentioned, I'm around mostly Mustangs here, and there's definitely a drive for them to just like come up and be like, I just want to like connect with you in a different way than the domestics, where the domestics are kind of always looking for snacks.
So Ford, my main guy, I use clicker training with him, and he will have, I'll start the session with a pan full of pellets just to kind of kick things off and make sure he's not in sort of a deficit mindset. And then I'll be wearing my treat pouch and standing a couple of yards away, and he'll leave a feed pan full of food to come and train with me instead, you know? And that's classic clicker training when you're doing it well, but it's really, it's so fun and special that it's not just the food, even though we are clicker training, it's not just the food, it's the interacting and connecting. And then of course the sciencey things where he gets to be an operator of his own environment and, you know, play the game. So, but all of it combined is just really fun. And yeah, the connection that we have together is quite the adventure.
Oh yes. I can only imagine. It sounds beautiful. Do you think he's looking forward to learning to be ridden and stuff and take adventures?
Oh, that's such a good question. I actually do wonder this. I've gotten on him at a walk, and, you know, I just use a neck rope and we just walk around the arena and have a really nice time together. And I can totally picture like the mountain trail rides and things like that. But it has been a slow process with him, just building up his trust and confidence. So I do wonder how, you know, I always wonder how much horses really want to do, and how much they're, you know, what, how do I want to explain this? Yeah, I wonder how much they really want to experience, and if they want to get on the trailer and go for an adventure. Of course, a lot of it's preparation, but it does make me curious. I do ask him sometimes if he wants to do it, and so far it seems like a yes, but we'll see. We'll see how far he goes.
That's fair. I have one, Willow, actually. She's so, like, that girl, you could reinforce her with taking her on an adventure,
and
we've only officially taken one, but the minute we step off the property, her ears go all forward and she's like,
that's so awesome,
we're going on an adventure, and we're not going back home ever.
that's amazing. I love that so much. I think once I can really get him, Ford's preparation and confidence fully there, I do think he has that capacity in him, because he tends to be a little bit more brave and adventurous than a lot of other horses.
That's cool.
I've noticed in the pasture. So that's what I hope to see from him, for
That'd
sure.
That'd be really cool. Yeah, I mean, certainly.
It'd be really fun.
Certainly possible. I think, I mean, just by watching Willow and then our other Mustang, Grace, aside from Cody, who's quite domestic. Cody's very what we would call herd bound. He doesn't like to leave his buddies. He can and he will, but you could just tell he is more of like, I'd rather just stay at home. The mares are more exploratory. I think maybe it's
fun.
A Mustang trait, because they've explored pretty much their entire life until they were brought into domestication. But
Yeah, that's a really good point, that they're familiar with being free.
Yeah,
so
seriously.
They might have. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that would make a huge difference on a psyche to be born within fences or without, you know? That seems like it'd make a big difference in their perspective on life, I would think.
Yeah, certainly sounds like it. So what, do you have a particular training modality that you follow, or do you dabble in a few different training modalities?
Oh my goodness, horses? Good question. Yes, good question. Yes, clicker training, of course. It's been quite, clicker training is such a huge mindset shift and shift of expectation and outcome, where some things are, it's just so different from pressure and release. I use clicker training with my own horse, and then with the horses that I have in training for the nonprofit, I'm using non-escalating pressure and release for them, just because it's most likely that their adopters will be more familiar with that. So I'm doing the best I can to really help them stay below the fear threshold and really process their emotions using pressure and release, and shaping enough, you know, using enough small steps in the right direction, to where, you know, they feel safe the whole time, but I can use pressure and release as sort of the language. So that's what I've been doing there. It is honestly for me still a complex, it's a complex emotion and experience deciding how to train after. It's kind of hard to go back after using food rewards. And then there are other times where it does seem truly in the best interest of the horse to, at least for certain circumstances, to go ahead and use pressure and release. So yeah, it's again a complicated question for me, but yeah, I wouldn't say I follow anything else specific, like a specific person or anything. I tend to, lately I've really been trying to lean into my own intuition and feeling of what the horse is experiencing. And then of course, watching their body language as closely as possible to make sure that I am helping them process emotion and not just flooding their senses with fear-inducing stimuli. So
that's really cool. And they certainly feel that. I think some training modalities, and we hear this, I mean, in the pressure and release realm and positive reinforcement, mm-hmm. it's like some horses do better with certain things and I guess understand certain things, and some seem to do better with other things. And it's just like, just about going with the horse. And it does seem more of a challenge to like please a potential buyer, though, training one with, I mean, having to like pick which method to train versus it being your own horse and, you know, being able to really establish a connection, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And with clicker training, the horse has so much autonomy and choice that you really need to go at their pace and their timeline. And sometimes when you're training horses for example, a nonprofit with limited funding and they want to help these horses to have a better life, but you know, you have 4 months, then sometimes it's going to be helpful to the horse to get them really set up solid with how they're most likely to be interacted with, and then hopefully find the best possible home so that they can be maybe move into clicker training at that point.
That makes sense. Yeah. So when you got Ford, was he did he not have any experience with clicker training prior to you having him, or was he trained?
Correct. Yeah. Oh, okay. He had no clicker training. He was with a trainer in Colorado who was kind of like a traditional, just like a traditional trainer. She probably used some elements of natural horsemanship, and I'm sure occasionally it was pretty intense. He actually came to me relatively fearful. Like he would load in the trailer and you could halter him, but he always had a worried eye. And he has very expressive eyes, so it's hard to miss. So everything we did, he had a worried eye until I started giving him more choice control and using food rewards, and then he really softened and lean into the experience and has been having a lot of fun with it. So
that's fascinating. It's so many great things. I found positive reinforcement is like, it's huge for bringing one out of their shell and really incorporating choice and starting that connection, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I remember Maddie discussing that on her horse-human connection course. It's just, so many good things.
Yes, absolutely. Did you train Willow with clicker training primarily?
Yeah, she's all been positive reinforcement, clicker training. She's just, and Cody was primarily natural horsemanship before we got him. And we've converted to like really giving him a choice in his training using positive reinforcement, and discovered that Cody doesn't like to be ridden as much as he was being ridden. And so he's ultimately a pasture puff. Willow might as well just like, I mean, she likes the snacks, but she's my best friend. She's just so so connected to me, and I do thank Maddie and the Horse Human Connection Academy and learning positive reinforcement for that, because I don't think I would have had this great of a connection with her had it not been for the positive reinforcement.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, and that's why I do what I do, to help more people learn these things and become someone like you, who's, you know, a voice for our horses in the industry and doing such powerful work. And your video touched so many people. There was a video of you that we shared on the Mustang Maddie page where you were hopping on, I believe it was Willow.
Yeah.
And you had just started her to ride, and you just leapt on beautifully. And your dad had some really beautiful words to share about your work with Willow. And I can see the back end, and it reached 14 million people because And so what you're doing and your dad and his words and the video of you and Willow has reached a lot of hearts, and it's palpable through the screen. So that's been really fun to see you guys thrive. Heart.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
That does really touch my heart.
Good.
Dad has been a major catalyst to me doing what I'm doing. He's helped out a lot, and we're missing him today. He's off elsewhere, but I'm so grateful for him and all of this. I don't think any of this would be possible without him. He does primarily the social media stuff and reaching people and reaching out to people, and he's the reason for the horses that I have in my life and so much more. So I'm just, I'm so grateful for him there and for this conversation with you. And speaking of dad, he always asks, is there a book that you're either currently reading or that you've read that is inspiring to you? And this can be about horses or life or food or anything.
Oh, great. I love that. The first one that comes to mind is called The Untethered Soul, and it really helped me learn how to accept and process my own emotional experience, and the cover has a horse on it, so how could I not? It was an intense read for me. I read it years ago when I was in the throes of some really intense personal experiences and betrayals, and coming out of some really intense family dynamics, and it was intense to read the book because the author makes it sound really simple and easy to just allow emotions in and through, and at the time it was almost offensive. But the lessons I learned from it was just I was just going through so much, and I needed a little bit more compassion for myself. But now, having read the book years later, it really describes well the physical sensation of allowing feelings to occur and allowing them to go in and through you and keeping your heart open. And that really helps me in life and with horses as well. Like when I find myself starting to tense or be in resistance to what the horse is doing, I can remind myself how to not resist the external environment of whatever the horse is doing, as well as not to resist my own internal experience. And not to allow the emotion to drown and take over me, but to allow it to just fully pass through. So that book has been helpful.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. That is definitely a book that I want to check out. It sounds right down my alley.
Yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it if you read it.
Yeah, definitely. I'll certainly let you know. I'm sure Dad will be excited about it too. We're both quite appreciate the spirituality side of things, and you seem like a very spiritual person yourself. Are you practicing or with your practice, are you open to sharing any particular practices that you're working on or gurus or whatever you're following?
Oh, sure. Well, my guru is my soul. So I don't follow anyone in particular. I would say, one of my most powerful, well, two, I have two most powerful practices. The first is in journaling. I will channel my own, these archetypes that I've created for myself. They're like, I imagine them as being a part of my soul. And whatever I need in that moment, I will reach out to that part of myself and ask for guidance or nurturing or love. So if I'm in distress and I feel like I need to be nurtured and cared for in a way that my younger self never was, I will literally write down, and as the wounded part of myself and my inner child just crying out and expressing the whole, like really diving into the experience of being the wounded inner child, and I'll share what's hurting for me right now. And then I will invite, I'm like, myself is almost like the mediator. I'll like channel my inner child, and then I'll write to my like nurturer, or sometimes it becomes like Mother Earth as well. Kind of depends. But, and then I'll channel a message from the nurturer or Mother Earth to the inner child. And the same for like, if I need to be really strong and set boundaries and defend myself, I'll write as myself who feels, or my wounded inner child who feels weak and vulnerable and in danger. And then I'll channel the warrior aspect of myself and have her write a message and give her what she needs. And, yeah, I have a few archetypes. There's the queen who is discerning and wise, the warrior who sets boundaries and, takes charge, and then the nurturer and caregiver. And then the highest version of myself, which is my soul. And I imagine my soul being the part of me that can hold and handle every human experience in the palm of her hand. So when I'm feeling really emotionally overwhelmed, I'll get in touch with that part of myself who can truly carry it all, with ease. Like, you know, she's out in the cosmos and the stars, just holding this tiny little thing that's overwhelming my physical body. And getting in touch with that really helps me, to kind of get back in touch with my own power. I'm a very emotional person. I'm a very sensitive person. So getting in touch with a part of me that can handle all that has been really powerful and helpful for me, as someone who used to get very easily overwhelmed. Yeah. Man, that was kind of a lot, but.
Beautiful. That is powerful. I feel it. Like, I feel this energy. Thank you so much for sharing. That is so beautiful, profound.
Yeah, thank you for asking. Thank you for asking. It's fun to talk about. It's not every day that you get to share these things. And it is kind of, I don't meet very many people who talk about these things in person, you know, so it's fun to share in a way that feels received and not like, okay.
Oh, exactly. So, I hear that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Reinforce the Horses. It started as like a chat between Dad and I, just talking about horses in life, and it has become a very spiritual platform. Like, pretty much every guest that we've had has some sort of tie-in to like spiritual, or I guess conscious tie-in, because I think we all have a tie-in, but something they're able to share, and it's such a cool way to connect to others and just like feel and be, and then the horses being sometimes a catalyst or just aiding in this spiritual journey. It's just, it's so powerful, and I'm so grateful.
Yes, me too. Thank you. Yeah.
So on another question, what is your favorite way to reinforce your horse or horses?
Oh, hey pellets. Hey pellets. Yeah, that's the it's just the most simple, straightforward thing. And nice. Some Timothy grass hay pellets. That's my favorite reinforcer. And if not that, just some really well-timed releases and holding a lot of space for them emotionally as they process whatever we were just doing.
Beautiful. I'm sure they are just so grateful.
Thank you.
So as we close up, is there anything else you would like to share to everyone? Anything else you'd like to touch on?
Sure. Well, I would say this is off the cuff a little bit, but I just want to say thank you to you guys and to the listeners for being on this journey. I think that, you know, diving into this kind of philosophy, mindset, and work is transforming the lives of horses and the earth as we know it. You know, as we grow in more connection to our horses, we grow in more connection to ourselves and more connection to the earth and each other. And I just hope to see, since like you mentioned, most horse people who are sort of conscious are so in touch with their spirituality. I believe that the more of us that are invited into this and doing this kind of work, the better the whole world gets to be. So thanks everyone for being here, for listening. I'm honored to speak and to be in your presence, and grateful for you and your dad, and in total admiration of both the work you're doing and your relationship. It's just so beautiful to witness.
Well, thank you so much. That warms my heart. Yeah. And speaking for Dad, given he is off elsewhere, he feels it too. We are so incredibly grateful for you being here with me today and just sharing this space. I'm so grateful and thankful to have had this conversation with you. And I'm going to continue and say thank you so much to our listeners again for listening and being a continuous part of our journey. And yeah, so thank you so much for being on this. And everyone have a wonderful day.
Yes, thank you for having me. And yes, everybody have a great day.